From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So I guess we should start by reminding you that the Disney version of the Brothers Grimm fairy tales you've seen are, well, different from the originals. They could be pretty dark. Murder, infanticide, incest. It was the dark parts that interested the playwright Matthew Ivan Bennett when he adapted these stories for radio. So the tales you'll hear tonight, performed live on stage at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center in Salt Lake City, may need a little parental guidance. We've got cannibalism and mutilation, some rough language. There could be some bumping and grinding in there too, if you know what I mean. Tonight, Radio West and Plan B Theater Company is presenting the latest episode in the Radio Hour series. We'll bring you three dark fairy tales after the news.
Hi, this is Elaine Clark, one of the producers of Radio West. Our free podcasts are made possible by KUER's generous listeners. If you're a fan, we hope you'll consider joining them. Become a sustaining member of KUER for as little as $5 a month. Visit us online at KUER.org for details. Thank you.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. This evening, we're live at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center in downtown Salt Lake City for the latest installment in a radio drama series. And now, KUER and Plan B Theater Company present Radio Hour Episode 9, Grimm.
Gather round, children. Make room for everyone. Settle down. That's it. Not too near the grate, Hansel. The devil can grab you if the flames go green. So you want Oma to tell story? She tells story. Rapunzel, not your mommy and daddy's version, but mine version, the white version. So listen well, no fidgeting, and maybe I give you schnapps, eh? I begin. Once upon time, there was a stupid girl. She and husband had special hug, and she was paying the price. She retains water. She's backed up. She vomits like Yellowstone geyser. Until she gazes out the window into a garden belonging to a fairy. Not sunny California fairy, mein Lieben. But real fairy. But I come to that later. First, she sees little rosebuds, daisies and poppies, cat's foot, runaway robin. But most of all, bright, green, watery Rapunzel. She tell her husband, oh, if I do not get some Rapunzel from the fairy's garden, I shall surely die. And what do you think he does?
Are you nuts? That's supernatural private property, Ilsa.
I have a craving, Carl. My body needs green leafy vegetables from exactly over there. Do you even love our unborn baby?
Of course. I'm just saying, let's not trespass in the backyard of evil.
Oh my God, evil? You're assuming because she's a fairy, she's evil. You're about to be a dad, Carl, and you're a racist.
We gave her a live chicken on Christmas, and she returned it inside out.
Carl, I need Rapunzel on my fork. You want the special hug? Do as I say.
That night, he bumbles over the wall and
I need
digs.
It, Carl. The baby needs calcium. My ugly feet hurt. Rub them.
Hello? Anyone there? Okay, just fill the bag and run, Carl. Nothing to it. Just a snip here, a snip there. No one's gonna find...
Ah! Out of black, the fairy slices! Its cape, the color of midnight, sewn from the faces of human babies. Man's testicles tighten like raisins. Fairy looms over him, its arms bony as branches. Is woman, but has vortex of white oily hair clinking to her chest. Two hells instead of eyes. And only imagination can conjure her bizarre, preternatural voice as she says,
hey, Carl, what you doing here?
Me? Oh, I was just getting rid of snails. You got quite a pest problem.
Maybe I like pests.
Do you? Huh. I can see that. Also, I'm sorry I smashed one of them.
Sven.
Sorry?
His name was Sven, that snail. We used to winter together in San Remo. Though he had been getting on my nerves, always blaspheming. You reap what you sow. I notice you've got a good grip on those scissors.
Do I? Sure do. Can't help it with these forearms, you know. I'm a baker by trade. Lot of dough in these hands.
I bet. So, it's so dark out here, and those things are so pointy. Carl, I'd hate to have you trip on my property, maybe puncture your spleen. Why don't you put them down?
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. By the by, what's in your bag there, neighbor?
Bag? Oh, this bag. Odds and ends. Got a red onion, couple of carrots.
I may be wrong, Carl, but it smells like fresh-cut Rapunzel.
Oh, gee, so it does. Weird. Anyway, I should split. The old lady is...
Do you know that scent, Carl? That green, fresh-cut scent is secreted by plants to attract predators.
Really?
Yeah. They give off that odor so a beast can come to feast.
I did not know that. I was bad at science.
I wouldn't call it science, Carl. I'd call it common sense. I think every living thing wants to go on, don't you? To put off the final judgment? Or maybe you long for this. Oh, Deus Eternus Paterna.
Okay. We can solve this without Latin. I stole from you. It was wrong. I'll make it up. It's my wife, all right? She threatened me, specifically my penis. And the Rapunzel was so close to our yard, I just thought...
Okay, Carl, chill. I'm not a grump. Love thy neighbor. You can help yourself.
I can?
Absolutely, anytime, as much as you want. As long as you compensate me in, say, the ballpark of your firstborn child. That seem fair to you?
Oh, very fair, Mrs. Fairy. It seems fairy, I mean, very fairly caring of you, considering what I've already been through in the last 8 months.
Get off my lawn!
A month later, another baby squirts into poverty. The fairy comes in spiral of green mist.
I'll be taking that. Nice doing business with you, Carl. Go with God.
What? Business? Carl, what did you do? Did you sell our baby?
A little bit, yeah.
Carl Werner von Schlitz, give me one good reason I shouldn't throw this afterbirth at you.
I got a receipt.
Fairy flies deep into forest to a tower with no doors, no stairway, but only high window. Baby suckles and grabs at hairy breasts as if twin bottles of schnapps.
Oh, yeah. Suck 'em good, my precious. Oh, yeah, my Rapunzel.
Seasons passed. Snow blows in. It melts. Stars whiz by. Little girl grows to be 12 years old, radiant as sunshine. And yet, she hasn't even a book up in her tower. No puzzles, no kittens, no scissors to have her hair cut. And so it grows long, barbarous, angelic. Day in, day out she sits, brushes her brass hair in the window, and sinks.
They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their feet with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind cats?
The fairy wanted to see her. She called up.
Rapunzel,
let down your hair to me.
Frau Gothel, yay! Just a minute.
Up the fairy climbs. Girl bounces up and down.
Hello, darling.
What mischief have you been up to? Have you said your prayers?
Oh, yes, Frau Gothel. I always say them when I wake, when I eat, and when I tinkle in the corner.
Good girl. Oh, do you want me to shampoo your hair? It's hair day.
Oh, is it? I must have lost track. Well, I've been stacking up mouse droppings as a way of, well, I don't know what to call it, knowing what day it is, I guess. But when I get a big pile, I get overwhelmed. But yay, hair day! Sometimes I dream of your long, long brittle fingers on my scalp.
Verita!
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Oh, water that's hot! Oh, I tried that the other night for an hour, and I swear the water got slightly colder.
Well, only your Gettle can do magic, Rapunzel. Mm. I've told you.
I know, but I was thinking, if I could learn magic, then maybe I could breathe outside the tower.
But you can't, my dear. There's only enough air outside the tower for me.
I know you say that, but sometimes the wind shushes in the window, and I think, whoa, that's a lot of air.
Pumpkin, I have explained. The air thins as you go farther from home. Mm. It's a brutal, heathen, lonely world. Now, sit back down, lean back, and let me groom you. You must be groomed.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there now. Isn't that a dream? We're going to get you spick and span. Clean as Mother Mary's knickers.
But one day, a young prince rustles by forest, hot rabbit guts in his hands. Then suddenly, he sees Rapunzel in her tower, forlorn, singing.
Limb from limb, at once he'll tear you, just as pussy tears a mouse. And he'll beat you, beat you, beat you, and he'll beat you all to pap.
He fell in love straight off.
Yeah! You had me at limb from limb. What's your name? I know I don't know you, but we should go out.
Rapunzel had never seen a boy, and so she thought, oh my, he might be devil.
Please don't drink my blood. Please don't drink my blood.
Hey,
don't.
Where'd you go? Hello? Go. I'm a prince. Oh, dang it.
Boy prince searches for door. None was to be found. So he waits at edge of clearing.
Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair.
The prince hears password. So at dusk the next day, then fairy has gone.
Rapunzel, Rapunzel. Let down your hair.
Hair falls down. Prince ties a braid around his middle.
Okay, pull me up.
And Rapunzel, distracted in her dreams and longing, drug him up, expecting to see fairy.
Hi! Oh, no, sorry. Oh, I should have sent my manservant ahead, I know, but I brought you some mulberries.
Ew!
Oh, dang it, never mind, I crushed them. I'm not so hot with the chivalry, but hey, based on what I've heard and seen of you, I think you're terrific. Your hair is prodigious, and I'd really love it if you'd not smite me with the frying pan! Ow! Okay, I get your gut reaction, we're sort of strangers, but my name is... Ow! Prince Meinhard of a medium-sized kingdom, mostly swamp.
Are you the Dark One?
No, never. I'm all for Jesus. Yay, Jesus! What a gentleman.
How can you breathe out there? You breathe, I can see that.
Yeah, I do breathe right now a lot. As to how, I don't know. It just happens.
Are you like me?
Like you? In what way?
Well, you don't look like my mother.
Okay, I'll take that as a compliment. You also do not look like my mother.
You have a mother too?
Yeah, I do. Kinda how I got here.
She brought you?
No, I mean, sorry, I missed your name with the pummeling. Your name is?
Rapunzel.
You're named after an herb? What, were your parents a couple of serfs digging in the fields with wooden hoes?
I don't know why my mother named me as she did. Is it not a good name?
Oh, no. It's pretty. Like meadow, or lily pad, or parsley. Rapunzel.
Yeah.
Makes you think of a beautiful salad, which I eat because I like, and you should blink when you're looking at a person. Oh, are you crying?
I am, yes, because first, you're very strange.
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. I try too hard. I have 8 brothers, and they're all big and dashing.
I wasn't finished. You're strange, but you make my lungs feel shriveled. You're having this confusing effect on my humors. You're like a revelation.
I am? Well, amen. May I sit?
Yes, I want you to. Let's talk in the way two strangers would until dawn. How old are you?
12.
I'm 12.
You are? Awesome! And you have really big boobs for a 12-year-old.
Boobs? What are boobs?
So, Rapunzel and Boy Prince hit it off. What's that, Vonday?
Sweetums, I have been shouting up.
What? Frau Gothel, is that you?
Of course it's me. What, are you still in your straw? It's noon. What is wrong, my darling? Are you under the weather? Do you want a blessing? Hoc est cum canora.
No, you don't have to chant, Mother. I don't think it's a spiritual problem.
Did you eat something?
I don't know. It's weird. All I wanted yesterday was pickles, so I ate 40. They seemed okay, but I'm cranky and everything smells. Something's wrong with my butt, Mom. I try to lace up my dress, and the hand of God comes down and squeezes me like a grape.
I gave you that dress 2 weeks ago. For your 13th baptism, have you been binging? I told you, pet, a moment like a pig.
I haven't binged, except the pickles, which are very low calorie. Have I been cursed? Could someone outside the safety zone have cursed me?
That depends, dumpling. Have you been outside the safety zone?
No.
Has someone been inside? A strapping young man, perhaps? With a neck pimple?
Not sure what strapping means, but yes to the pimple. And I was going to tell you, I met a boy.
A boy has been in our sanctuary?
A prince.
A prince! Even worse, my dearest. The Lord abhors those who set themselves over us. Oh, Rapunzel, I brought you up well, didn't I? Didn't I explain the sin outside these walls?
Wait, Mom, he's not a demon prince. He's human, like me. I'm human, he said.
Temporarily, perhaps. Until the final judgment.
Wait, no, Mother, he's worthy. He brings me berries. He's nice.
Nice? Yes, I'm sure he was nice when he groped those garbage bags of yours.
They're called boobs, Mother, and sometimes tits. They aren't garbage.
You godless child whore!
In a blur of speeds, a fairy hacks off the trophy hair, cuts and saws, blood speckles onto stone balls. Her lacerated pale head is slapped. 1, 2, 3! Fairy draws upon eldritch power as Rapunzel bleeds and vines and shivers in her own urine.
Eshu!
Please, no, Mother!
Eshuween!
The girl's heart-shaped face begins to crack and dry.
Eshuween! Oh,
sorry, please!
She is banished to a desert place, a place of needles, fangs, sun, and wind.
Oh, Lord, I'm outside. Germs. Oh, where's the tower? Mother? Mother? Mother!
That evening, Fairy ties Rapunzel's cut-off hair to hook and lets it down. Prince climbs and...
Hello? Honey, how come you're in the utter pitch black?
Flee from sexual immorality. The other sins a person commits are outside the body. but the sexually immoral person sins against his own. Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you?
Well, I've heard that. I'm guessing you're Rapunzel's father?
Mother.
Sorry, mother. Do you smoke a lot?
Have you read the Holy Word, Prince?
Some, but I'm more of a visual person. I enjoy the stories in stained glass. Is Rapunzel
You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Incendiary!
A blue fire cries up inches away from Prince. And then, a spindly elfin woman, Bible chiseled in her face, a silvery chest beard that smells of malice and Jägermeister.
Nice meeting you!
You've lost her forever, you heretic hip waver. You won't find her again in this world. She has fallen, and you shall fall with her.
Only a rope of spun gold hair holds up the prince. He dangles 50 feet up, and then...
Romans chapter 6, you pubescent plundering pagan!
He lands hard in the briars. Two green barbs pierce his eyes. He is blinded. My eyes! But he survives because he is German! He wanders into forest, eating grass. No longer a prince, but now beggar, who sleeps next to goats. 10 years he wanders, until finally he shuffles tired to a crude lean-to shelter of bones in the wilderness.
Hello, sir, madam. Could I borrow a cup of goat's milk for free?
The woman, who was inside sewing a new dress out of rattleskin snake, drops her work.
Meinhard?
Rapunzel?
Oh no! Sweetums, your eyes! What?
Some shrubbery, forget it, it's in the past. Oh. Keep kissing me!
Oh, Meinhard, yes! Oh, yes! Oh, he's answered my prayers! God is great! God is great! Oh, you have to meet my children, Meinhard. God gave me children. It's a miracle, a boy and a girl.
Children!
Back to home base!
At once, mother!
I obey, mother!
Okay, now children, stick out your faces so my boyfriend can feel you. Okay, this is Meinhard Jr.
Hello there, champ.
And this is Meinhardette. They look a lot alike, except one's more like me and one's more like you, between the legs.
And how old did you say they were?
Oh, this many winters.
I can't see your hands.
Oh, right. Well, it's all my fingers and thumbs.
Oh, my sweet Redeemer, you're right. Rapunzel, it is a miracle. It's like someone up there is... My eyes. I can see. Awesome. God is... Wow, your boobs are even bigger.
So, Ja, Jesus fixed his eyes. Big deal. One good thing he do. Z. End. Now, if you limp home tomorrow to your mommies and daddies and pee your bed and say, Grandma, tell scary story, then next time I tell you verse, I tell you my story about special hug from Nazi soldier. All right, everyone, shut their eyes now. Lie still as statue on grave, unless you want schnapps. Hands up.
You're listening to Radio Hour, Episode 9, Grimm, presented by Plan B Theater Company. We're live at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center in downtown Salt Lake City, and we're going to take a brief break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. We now continue Radio Hour, Episode 9, Grimm.
Two thousand years ago.
Beneath a juniper, a woman peels an apple, slices her finger.
Blood spots the snow.
She thinks...
How I wish I had a child, white as snow and red as blood.
Nine months fall.
She bears a pale boy.
Shoveling.
She dies.
Shoveling.
She lies shoveling. Now under the twist of juniper. The man remarries.
Has a second child, Lena.
Lena, jewel of her mother's eye. But the boy, he always stands in her way.
My daughter will have everything, boy.
Then one day, the daughter.
Can I have an apple, mother?
She kept them in an iron chest.
Of course, my darling girl.
Can brother have one too when he's home from school?
Anger. Her head splits. The dark one creeps over the woman.
Yes, he may have one, but you shan't have one before him.
Lena wakes upstairs, curls up in the sun. The boy toddles in.
My son. Do you want an apple?
She unlatches the chest.
Creep.
Pick out an apple for you and your sister.
He leans over the chest, wary but hungry, when...
She slams down the lid.
Slam!
Slicing off his head.
Slicing.
A smile spasms across her lips. At last, she's free of him. But fear burbles up.
What have I done? What have I done? Maybe if...
She pulls the oozing head out of the apple bin, sets it back on the body.
Props him up, ties the head and neck together with a scarf.
Lays an apple in his hand.
Lena, your brother's home.
Daughter clumps down the stairs.
Hey, give me one of those.
But brother is quiet, so mother says.
Box him in the ear if he won't answer.
So the girl whacks him on his ear, and his head, thuds on the cold
Lena,
kitchen floor.
Lena, what have you done?
You said.
Don't waste another word with me. I'll help you hide your mistake. We'll cook him in a stew. But then you must repent.
Shing.
Apart they hack him, boil him up with shallots and rosemary.
At dinner, the father eats.
Where's the boy? Oh, such a meal he's missing.
Mm. He's gone over to his uncle's.
The father wishes he'd said goodbye, but mouth waters away the thought.
Slurp and gobble, smack and slurps.
Tosses bones.
And Lena, little Lena, weeps the tears of blood, gathers brother's bones in a silk handkerchief, sets them on the grass.
Under juniper. And the tree, it moves.
It groans and sways and claps.
A mist rises. The tree screams into flame.
And then a bird streaks out of the smoke and up and up and up and...
The silk and shining wet bones are gone.
Lena sighs, less sad somehow, but why?
The bird alights on a goldsmith's home farther up the lane and sings.
Mother, she killed me. Father, he ate me. Sister, she laid my bones in silk. Now I'm a bird with eyes like milk.
So struck by the melody, the goldsmith thrusts his head out his door.
How wonderfully you sing. Sing that piece again.
I sing nothing twice for free, but give me your golden chain, I will sing.
He tosses up the chain, the bird snatches it, it sings, woof, and wings away.
Caught too by the song, a shoemaker in shirt sleeves huffs into his garden.
Wife, come out here. Listen to this wild little bird. Sing again, bird.
I sing nothing twice for free.
Wife, the red shoes from my shop now.
She fetches, he throws. The bird catches in its left claw.
Woof.
It
wings and sings away.
The bird flies to the mill, and the mill says,
clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
20 men sit cutting a new stone.
Chip, chop, chip, chop.
Mother, she killed me.
Ooh,
father, he
beauty itself, that is.
Let us have it again. Once more, please.
I do not sing twice for nothing, but give me the millstone and I will sing.
So the men heave up the stone with a beam.
Heave ho.
Swooping down, the bird stretches its blue golden neck through the hole in the stone's middle and...
God above!
The bird with white eyes lands again in the juniper with chain, shoes, and millstone.
Mother, she killed me. Father, he ate me. Sister, she laid my bones in silk. Now I'm a bird with eyes like milk.
The mother, still at table inside, chills over. Spoon clattering, the father dashes to the window, gasps.
I've never seen such a bird. I have to have a closer look. Come, Lena.
No, don't go. It's a portent. The whole house is shaking.
But still he skips outside. The bird drops the gold chain on the man's neck.
Girls, come on. The sun is brighter than ever. It smells like pure cinnamon.
Have a look at this lovely little bird. He's given me gold. Come.
Not I. I have a blizzard in my veins, a fire, an ice.
She rips open her bodice.
Water weeps into her handkerchief, soaking it.
Lena, there's nothing to be afraid of, sweetheart. Come.
Again, the bird sings. Mother, Lena races out. The red shoes plop, plop, plop.
Oh, do come out, Mother. It really is splendid. I've gotten new shoes.
She plugs up her ears and shuts her eyes, but a storm crazes in her head. Her hair stands up.
The sun is about to fall.
But the dark one urges her outside as he had urged her with the boy.
And when she steps in the sun,
smash!
The bird flings the millstone, splatting her head, red gore on the grass. A smoke white and sweet, violet aflame, dances for Father and Lena and...
Stumbling out of chaos, the boy.
The boy!
The boy!
The boy!
Now taking his sister and father by the hand under... The Juniper Tree.
You're listening to Plan B Theater Company's Radio Hour, Episode 9, Grimm, adapted by Matthew Ivan Bennett. Another story coming after a break. This is Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West, I'm Doug Fabrizio. And now, the final tale in Radio Hour, Episode 9, Grimm.
Little Snow White. He crept into the girl's bedchamber and gagged her. She scratched and wept and shat the powder blue silk of her nightgown. He slapped her for the stink. Drug her into the woods. It was easy. Yes, how easily his knife sings through the dark end.
Please, whatever I did, I'll make it well. Show me mercy. I will run away. I'll never pester you again. I promise.
Gottverdammt! No more weeping. I have headache now.
Lord Jesus, I swear, sir, I will right whatever wrong. I will...
Listen, little girl. You do nothing bad. What I do is not against you, yeah.
Carving me like a goose isn't against me?
Well, from your point of view, but...
How much are they paying you?
Oh, they are paying me in a way you are too young to know about. So halt the kleinen Rottenmund. I slice and dice now. I schneiden your lungs und your liver und I fry them in skillet with garlic und lemon zest. Now.
Wait!
You wait! Stop talking and wait quietly until the man with the knives kills you, you sweet, inoffensive little 8-year-old. I destroy you with your skin white as snow und your lips rot with blood.
Oh, fick. You quell my murderous ire. Run! Run away now, I kill something else.
Abuin, or I pluck out your eyes and piss on you! Ah!
Stumbling, shaking but grateful, little Snow White rushed into the wild. Branches snapped around her, spider webs stuck to her mouth, and the huntsman was alone. He sighed and muttered and shook his blonde head, wondering what to say to the queen, when a wild piglet trotted by.
Die!
Fooled by the huntsman, the witch queen ate the animal's lung sacs. With a greasy chin, she imagined that the bolus in her throat was her daughter's threefold beauty. The red, white, and black, now macerated, liquefied, made into nothing by teeth and acid and bowels twitching.
How do you like that marinade, gorgeous?
Silence! Bar the door! Take off your pants!
Meanwhile, Snow White ran until her feet throbbed and she came to a cottage built into a hill. The roof was a fallen wedge of granite and moss, the windows sheets of crystal, and inside, everything was small. The table, chairs, plates, spoons, mugs, the 7 tiny beds against the wall, each of them seemed built for a child. Even the food. Oh, and she was starving. Her throat felt like linen in the sun, the green beans, the corn muffin, the honey wine. She snatched and nibbled and drank them all, and then wobbling, laid herself down in a numb wondering.
Who would want to kill a girl?
In her mind's eye, her mother wept and raged and rode into the forest with a torch. But soon, sleep came, and the sun shrank away, and the moon blossomed, and the seven owners of the cottage came calling, sweaty, grimy, reeking of roots and iron. In they clumped, and when they saw the disarray...
Oh, Razzle Frezzit, who has been in my chair again? I left it perpendicular to the wall, and it's been disturbed by at least 4 degrees.
What I'd like to know, Russell, is who's absconded with my garden fresh green beans?
Yeah, and who nicked half my muffin?
Sod you and your muffin, Angus. You had a nibble this morning. The question's where's my delicious spotted dick pudding?
I say our bishop's hat napkin arrangement, Wesley. It's been rumpled.
Right you are, Leslie. Who's the culprit? I call for a house meeting.
Hold up. Trevor would like a word first.
Trevor can have a word in the meeting. Yeah.
Wesley, I tire of reminding you, Trevor is a member of this collective despite his disability. Now, what was that? Trevor, slow down. I can't understand you when your hands flit. Oh, my. Trevor signs to me that he feels like a little girl inside his head. No, he says, there is a little girl inside his bed. What?
Whoa. Bugger is right. Have a look at Trevor's bed. Oh. That's the muffin marauder right there. Oh. Oi, did you diddle my muffin? Wake up.
What? It's not even light out, Mom.
Mom! Scream all you like, Nancy, but you'll be working off every bite.
No need to manhandle, Angus. You're disheveling the bed sheets and the collective does not... Well, isn't she a lovely specimen?
Lovely for a larcenist?
Shush! Rupert, Wesley, Leslie, Trevor, do you see what I see? That symmetry, that complementarity of colour, that bone structure.
Oh, yes, quite. What, Trevor? Really? He says the girl's face is statistically 1 in 500 million.
Oh, tripe, you yanked that out.
Trevor has a very high spatial intelligence, Angus, as he's told you. Unhand the girl.
If I unhand her, she'll bite my arm off. Look at her. I concede she's symmetrical, but she looks like she's feral. Oh, and she smells like shite.
Motion to have Angus unhand her.
You stop with the motions.
All in favor, say aye, please. Aye.
What? No! We approve of breaking the 8th commandment set down by Moses all of a sudden? All muffins are up for grabs?
Angus, the collective has spoken.
Trevor didn't speak.
He gestured, and you have cheeked the judgment twice, Angus. I declare you insurgent. Proceed at once to the stool of anarchy. Not a word for 5 minutes.
5? All right. I submit for the greater good. But I want that toddler to spit my muffin up. Where'd you leave the stool?
You left the stool by the potato bin yesterday, you thoughtless Burke.
Oh, if I'm a Burke, you're a son of a...
Language, both of you! The collective has been blessed with a visitor at last, and you mar the image of its munificence and efficiency. As Director of Public Relations, I order you to apologize.
Sorry.
Thank you. Now, little girl, we welcome you. We ask your name and we wonder how you arrived here.
First of all, I'm called Snow White, noble sirs.
Snow White? Is that your Christian name?
Oh, yes, sirs, and I'm very sorry for my unlawful entry. I was attacked, you see, by a German. Forgive me, but are you dwarfs?
Dwarfs? Do you hear that? That's how they bring them up. No, as a matter of fact, we are not dwarves.
Angus, let it be.
As that is a derogatory term used only by the acro majority.
We prefer the term midget, Miss White.
Midget? I thought we decided on some tall human, you
know. No, Trevor broke the tie. It's easier to sign midget with his hands.
Sorry, Trevor.
So, there you are. We are 7 midgets. I am Russell. This is Rupert.
Hello.
That's Angus on the stool, forbidden to vocalise. Fergus is twin, though raised apart. Wesley and Leslie, who only seem twins. And, of course, Trevor, who is gesturing hello.
I see. Oh, what a pleasure to meet you. You're the first midgets I've ever met, and the only people I've ever robbed. So I swear to repay you. Until my mother comes, I shall cook and wash and sweep and sew and knit and crochet and spin flax and churn butter and, oh, I can also groom a pony.
Oh, can you use a protractor? I require 90-degree angles in my area.
Oh, yes. My tutor taught me the protractor last week. I know them acutely.
Oh, mercy at last! Motion to add a member to the collective! All in favor!
But in that very same hour...
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
Oh, queen, thou art the fairest of all I see! Yet, o'er the hills where dwarves do dwell, your daughter is alive and well, and none is so fair as she.
Betrayal!
And so she plotted, painted her face, dressed like a gypsy, and with a spell went over the seven mountains like wind the next day. A potion hid her voice.
Pretty things to sell, very cheap.
The men gone, Snow White poked out of a round, crystal-paned window.
Good day, ma'am. What have you to sell?
So much, my dear. Ribbons, hairpins, laces. You see this? It's Chinese silk.
Snow White had no suspicion, so she stood before the old bent woman and let herself be laced.
Oh, that's a little tight. Looser, if you please. Looser, ma'am.
The mother corseted quickly, so tightly that Snow White lost her breath. A rib cracked, and she fell down as if dead, her face a blue-gray. The mother fled, relieved. But when the seven men came home...
Why is the maid writhing on the floor?
Oh, Christmas fudge! She strangled herself with an undergarment. Trevor, quickly, you're the best with knots.
Meanwhile...
Oh, queen, thou art the fairest of all I see. Yet, o'er the hills where seven...
Blast!
The mother racked her cruel mind. What would fool a little girl twice?
Yes. Yes!
With a second spell, she raced over crag and valley, took disguise as a blind woman, a yellowed bandage on her eyes. The seven men off in the mines, she rapped on the door.
No solicitors, please.
I have naught to sell, child, only a bauble or three to trade. For a spoonful of porridge, I would leave you this lady's comb.
It was all too tempting. The jeweled comb reminded her of home. With gratitude, she ran it through her raven hair when poison squished into her scalp. She collapsed.
What's comb over you, my dear?
When the halfling men came...
Miss White, good news! Leslie has uncovered a trove of shiitake mushroom... Oh, rue the day. No! Trevor!
Meanwhile...
Oh, queen, thou art the prettiest of all I see, but...
Why? What has happened now?
One dwarf of seven has wit unsurpassed. A magic most dark must now be...
Yes, I got it. I should have squeezed her flat in the birth canal.
She fled to a secret dungeon room caked with dust, where she made a poisonous apple. Then, with a third spell, she folded space between castle and cottage at noon the next day. She rapped on the door, dressed in gingham as a farmer's wife.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to buy anything or let anyone in or talk to strangers. The collective forbids me.
But the girl spied the bushel, its bounty large and royal, red and gold-flecked, smelling of juice and autumn. Mouth a-water, she thought...
Well, the farmer's wife is giving them all away.
And when she saw the woman eat a portion...
You eat this red cheek and I'll eat the yellow.
She stretched out her hand and bit down into a crisp, earthy sweetness.
There now, ain't that to die for?
Oh, yes, it's so scrum.
What's that, dear? Use your words. White as snow, red as blood, black as ebony. Let them see your corpse, girl, and say that still.
Mother.
Yes, dear, it's me. I'm here, but you are not safe now. No, I'm not going to get you water from that well or blow on your elbows. I'm going to watch.
and grin. Because the truth is, the week I bore you, I wanted to sling you out the window into a snowdrift. You've just given me an excuse by getting pretty!
When the seven men came home again, they could not resuscitate her. And at last the mirror said,
"Thou art the fairest."
But when they dug the grave, they saw that her cheeks were still blood red.
We cannot put her down in the dark, not like this.
No.
The heartbreak must be seen.
Trevor motions that we build a glass coffin and install it permanently in our salon.
Oh, come on. That'll take a week. And we don't have a salon. It's one bloody room.
But all were in favor. So the princess lay a long time in the glass case in the men's parlor. She did not grow or change, but seemed as if asleep until one day.
By the power of Greymole, I order you to share this mean shelter from the storm.
Good evening, sir. Please come out of the damp. Have a cup with us.
The little men poured tea for the prince, dried his boots in the hearth, and pulled up several white goose-down pillows so that he could recline.
Now that was a meal. Tell me again what those little bold bits are called.
Spices.
Right, yes, genius. I must say, being in the middle of nowhere, I scarcely expected such hospitality.
Oh, we live to serve.
Obviously, yes, but I never knew you midgets to be creative. We had a midget growing up, but all he did was prink around in a motley tunic.
Pardon your majesty, but midget is not a term we self-apply.
What? Oh. Did you get rebrand again?
Well, you were passed out, yes. We prefer little person.
But I like midget. It sounds aggressive.
No, it doesn't. It's acoustically demeaning.
To who?
To Trevor.
He's deaf.
Is he? I thought him touched in the head. Why does he flap his arms?
It's called sign language, sir. And he invented it.
He's communicating with you? Extraordinary. So many surprises.
You want a surprise? Have a keek under the doily on the tea table.
What's under the doily? Oh, my. It's a glass table filled with a corpse inside. Is this a standard practice among little people? Who is she?
Well, that's our little Snow White in there. Dumpling, a visitor.
Oh, is she still...
Dead as a doll sheep rug, mate. Going on months now.
Really?
Yep. Hey, and you can have her on clearance if you like.
Is she for sale?
No, he's jesting. Our business is strictly metallurgical, we assure you.
Yes, whatever. Did he say dead for months? Are you in earnest, sir?
He is, sir, but...
How is that possible? I can see she's fresher than a March tulip. What powders have you used? I have never seen such inspired taxidermy.
Actually, she hasn't been taxidermied. She's naturally preserved.
Or supernaturally.
As Trevor believes.
Following the incident, he scoured the perimeter for signs of witchcraft with a dowsing rod.
Witchcraft? Oh, please. You have been in the woods too long, my friends. No, I suspect this is a mystery for modern alchemy. My, but she is striking. Like a pressed flower. Are you above a price? A prince's price. Name a price.
She's not for sale, sir. Truly.
30 silver?
Silver? We're gold miners, you duffer.
I must have her. She's exquisite. Father only allows me to experiment on birds and occasionally a cotton-tailed rabbit.
Adam, you're 37. You need a man's hobby.
But this, she looks frighteningly alive. It's leagues beyond... I mean, the Egyptians, they might have... And what's this inscription? She's the daughter of a king? 100 gold!
The coffin cost more than that. 200.
To the stool with you, Angus!
You tossers can't punish me for considering our profit margin.
You have bespotted the memory of a fellow member.
Oh, well, excuse me for not worshipping a dead 8-year-old in a box. All right? Motion for a tea table that don't look like it'll rise again and suck out your blood. All in favor?
Gentlemen, I see her presence has sown dissent. Let us come to a consensus. And I promise she will be prized and dusted and cared for. Can you not see my knees a-tremble, gentlemen? This is need. This is curiosity as wide as our flat planet. This is love. Pure, aesthetic, sudden, once-in-a-lifetime necrotic love. Snow White may be dead, but she has made my mind and heart livelier than any previous well-preserved person or thing. And now that I have seen her, I must have her by my side incessantly. And if you cannot honor my gold as payment, then I beg of you, honor my love.
The band of men pitied the prince and gave him the coffin with Snow White. It was carried to his castle, where the prince sat beside her, his blue eyes popping the whole day. He could not eat unless her tiny, pale body lay within arm's reach.
Gorgeous.
But the servants, who had to lug the coffin to and fro, began to resent the attention that their master luxuriated on little Snow White.
Oh, God verdammt. Always he wants coffin. He blinks, I want coffin. He breaks wind, coffin. He plays panpipes on the battlements, up, down, cleans the glass, no fingerprints. I curse your name, Snow White. Are you listening? I could be royal huntsman along my brother Friedrich, but no. I come here for easy life of manservant, but what do I get? White as snow, red as blood, oh, her hair, black as ebony wood. Well, maybe I open you up and show them purple as plum, hmm? Oh, you like that, huh?
Oh, no, Friedhelm, spare me.
What? I do nothing. You hurt yourself.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Stop.
Scheiße.
Oh, Mother. Mother, why? Why? Why?
Christus auf einem Cracker.
Revived, little Snow White met her new protector.
Am I dreaming? I have had this dream so many times. I died, didn't I? We're dead together now, chemically preserved somewhere for all time.
No, sir, I think we're both alive.
Oh.
The wedding was set for the next day, and Snow White's godless mother was invited. That morning, she stepped before the mirror, unthinking.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?
You, my queen, are fair, 'tis true, but the young queen is a thousand times fairer than you.
Even in her horror, in her jitters, in the rankling numb of her jealousy, she could not stay away from the wedding. She flurried into the feast hall, unbathed, unpowdered. Her hair lay flat. A cherry red nail was chipped. The dancers froze as she stopped before groom and bride and...
Hello, Mother.
It can't be!
Come to wish me well, Mother.
Oh, this is my wish, daughter, that you with hell-born winter's hate shrivel as my word!
Motion for capital punishment without delay. All in favor, say aye.
Angus, you came with a shovel, and you said you didn't care about our little girl.
I don't, but I bloody well abhor witches. I am a Christian, after all. Now, I say we wake her up, clap some iron shoes on her, red hot from the fire, and then she cuts a rug down the devil's road. Who's in? Trevor? Right on, Trevor, down low. How about you, love? Do we make her dance? All you've got to do is say aye.
Aye.
Dance, you evil bint! You messed with the wrong midget!
Little person!
Little person, whatever! Dance! Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live!
And they all lived happily ever after.
Radio Hour 9, Grimm, was written for radio by Matthew Ivan Bennett, directed by Cheryl Ann Clough. It featured Bill Allred, Colleen Baum, Jay Perry, Teresa Sanderson, and Jason Tatum. Original music composed with themes respectfully borrowed from Beethoven by David Evanoff. The lighting was designed by Jesse Portillo. Jennifer Freed was our station manager. The sound was engineered by Eric Robinette, mixed for air by KUER's Michael Havey. The show was produced by Jerry Rapier. Our thanks to Doug Parkin, to Brad Henry and Stephanie Slade at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center. Thanks to KUER's Mike Anderson back at the station. Our engineer is Lewis Downey. Radio West is produced by Benjamin Bombard, Andy Lane Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.